of RealCom Live. We are really excited about today's show. And as I've done in the past, I go with one word or phrase to describe. Got multiple words today: fun, exciting, innovative, risk-taking, putting your money where your mouth is, basically rolling up your sleeves and playing with technology before you roll it out at scale. And we've got a longtime friend of the community, Alon Zakhar. Why don't we bring Alon on? We're going to have some fun, and we're taking some risks today because we not only are we bringing Alon on to talk about the lab, but we're actually going to bring Alon on right from the lab. Alon, how are you?
Very good. How are you, Howard? James, sorry. I need to
Okay.
look at the camera that is mounted on my
No,
computer
no
here.
worries. We've been called brothers, and I'll take the compliment. So we don't like to rest on our laurels. We like to push it. I mean, we've dropped drones in general sessions and robots, walked off the stage almost. So not only do we want to have a conversation, but you said, let's take a walk through the lab and let me show you, right? And so we said, why not? What's the worst thing that can happen? It doesn't work. That you don't get ahead with technology unless you take chances. So first of all, thank you for being a risk taker. And so before we got walking on the tour, give me a little idea, or give our guests a little idea on when the idea came up. Why did you decide to do it? What was the goal, the objective of a lab? Because it's a pretty good size undertaking. So why don't you give us a little background?
So the originally this idea came, I'm going to say, roughly 3 years ago, when we understood that we need to start playing with technology that we don't need to commit to. And I think that was the big component to us. And we looked at the lab to because of a couple of things that happened, and that's the purpose of the lab. So one of them, we want to be able to play with technology, with solutions, with trends that maybe we can see that are coming up that no one is playing around with them or no one is using them, but we didn't want to commit to them within to the industry or to commit to them to actually have to use them. So it's not a proof of concept, it's not a pilot. And we'll see some of them today.
Right.
The other piece was, go ahead, sorry.
No, and how did you convince executive leadership that this would be a benefit to a real estate company, right? I mean, we sometimes get accused of not being the fastest or hardest leaning in industry as it relates to tech. What did they say when you presented them with this idea?
So the idea was we can build a lab at minimal to no cost because everything that you're going to see here today was either ripped apart from spaces that were from older buildings, spaces of customers that left behind. So there's a minimal to no cost to implement and to do what we actually did. We actually, this space is not because it's a new space, but this is a this would be classified as a structural vacancy, a space that cannot be leased, or we decided that this space we will not be leasing anymore. So they're not losing revenue on the space that I'm using. The carpet, the TVs, the speakers, the furniture, everything was either in relationship that we have with our custom with our vendors or taken apart from other customer spaces. So there was no cost to it. So why would they say no,
Right.
right?
Yeah. Well, and it takes an innovative IT leader like yourself to take that initiative to say, I want to do this, right? So, okay, so you mentioned clients a little bit. First of all, do you bring clients here? Second of all, what's their reaction? And three, does it ever help you sign a lease any faster?
So we're not there yet, but yes, we do bring people in. So we bring in either investors that are looking at and say, "Hey, let's come see what we're actually playing around with." Our board walks around on a regular basis in our lab, and most important, it acts as a showroom for our development, our construction, our leasing. Because when we try to explain something, what is in the space, what we want to implement, what we want to do in there, they don't understand. So I'm going to show you as we walk through afterwards a plethora of cameras, or so they can say, okay, now we understand the camera that you want to put in there.
I remember doing having a meeting with a major bank 25 years ago, and I said, gosh, you got 4,500 branches. Can you take me to the warehouse where you got the lab where you're playing, you're tinkering? And they go, we don't have one, right? And if you think about the massive investments we make in buildings, the concept of a lab, I mean, I think they probably have innovation labs for ballpoint pens, right? So why wouldn't we have an innovation lab for a major complex project like a big building? And I just hats off to you for seeing that opportunity and for jumping into it.
Yep, and again, and I think that two projects that came out of here that people walked in and said, you've been talking about low voltage, you've been talking about low voltage lighting for such a long time, what it can do to us, how much we can save, no one understood it until we actually did it. And then when we did it, and you know, and you saw this at RealCom last time, right? You see this setup over here that no one understood that this actually can power up what you, the setup that you see over here, even though it looks like a little showcase, right? At the end of the day, this setup alone can power up probably a small office.
Well, I had a meeting in Irvine, California last Friday. You and I are going to have to go sidebar on low voltage. We're going to get you out to California to see it. It will blow you away. Absolutely blow you. You're going to want it. I guarantee you're going to want it in your lab. All right. Let me get out of the way. Take us on the tour and thank you again for doing this. This is really cool.
Thank you. So you see a split. The reason you're seeing a split screen right now is because I'm using a specialty camera, which is a 360 camera. It's a camera that we've been playing around with to be able to do virtual tours. Unfortunately, there's a very low amount of platforms. So YouTube allows 360 video streaming. Facebook allows 360 video streaming. So we can actually conduct live tours, live streaming. And whoever's viewing the video can actually rotate the entire 360 view. This platform does not support it. So what it does, it takes a split screen. There's a camera in front and a camera in the back. So you see me over here, but then if I move to the front of the camera, you should be able to see me right over here.
That's innovation by itself.
So I'm gonna walk around the lab. I'm gonna present what you're gonna be seeing from the other side. So the environment is set up that we can, in stations, so we can sit down, we can innovate, we can ideate. We have an innovation and ideation team also out of our HQ. And that way we can sit here, we can talk about things, and we can break away from the actual live environment. So I'm tethered, so I'm gonna walk. You tell me if I'm walking too fast or too slow. First thing I want to show you is our low voltage. So this is a regular office, and this light used to be powered by a 470 watt connection. What we did is we took it apart. Everybody says, "Yeah, all you need to do is take apart the controller and connect it a low voltage controller to it," and that's what we did. So this is now using a low voltage connector versus the 470 connection. So this is a retrofit, right? One of the things that we actually did over here is retrofit the lighting from the regular voltage to the low voltage. The other thing that we did over here from the low voltage side of it, as you can see up here, is those streamed lights. Those are the streams. The small ones are all low voltage. They start low voltage, they end low voltage. We can power up the entire space. Even the bigger ones, we can take those and we can break them apart into low voltage.
So, now, Milan, why has it taken the world 50 plus years to finally start considering the fact that Tesla may have been right?
I think it's, you know, when you think about a project that is a billion-dollar construction project, and you're trying to figure out a way how to sell a billion-dollar solution that is $20 million, maybe the electrical solution in the building is going to be $20 million. Why do you want to take a risk for $20 million for a $1 billion for technology that you're not familiar with?
I agree. I get it.
And I think that's where, and it's an educational component. And I'm waiting for regulation. I'm going to move over here because I'm going to log into this computer for you, show you something. I think that it's regulation that will kick in that will actually force customers to do that. It's also a mindset. When you deal with construction, there's a division 27, which is low voltage, division 26, which is electrical, division 28, which is security. That's usually where we live in. We also live in division 25, which is the integration between the systems. Division 20, all of the electrical and the lighting is usually in division 26. For you to really see value, a 30% discount on your implementation, lower copper usage, lower labor, lower conduits. For you to do that, you have to take it out of division 26 and put it into division 27, which is low voltage.
Right.
That is a scary component for a billion-dollar project. So the way we do it is we're doing it in smaller projects to get the buy-in.
It makes sense. You start in a lab, you test in a small project, you gain confidence and buy-in, and you just keep moving. But the fact is, you have started somewhere. And that's the key.
And that's the start. So if you notice this setup over here, notice this white table, there's no cables underneath it, right? And the reason there's no cable is because the computer and both monitors are actually powered by a battery.
As I told you earlier, these desks will be at RealCom and IBCon again, and they were there last year, but we're actually going to implement them into various parts of the conference to show what you're about to show us.
So this is all powered. So unfortunately, you know, there's caveats that you need to know. You know, most monitors today have power supply inside. We learned that these monitors have to have power supplies outside. Only LG, Samsung, ViewSonic have the power supplies outside. We also learned that you sometimes don't have two monitor ports on your laptop. Some of these laptops come now with two USB-Cs, one for charging and one for your phone. You have to have a device to connect outside to be able to use it. So there's a couple of things that we're learning that we have to do, but we have very good results because now you can plan an amenity space. You can plan in a residential area where you want people to be able to sit and work. You can just give them a battery, and all you're doing is this is the battery.
But right? What so that means is you're not putting electrical outlets buried in concrete in specific places that may change 6 months later.
Exactly. So I can repurpose my space, redesign it. You know, you can have a pop-up office, you can have an event location, and you can actually just move things around as you want to do that.
And to the point you made earlier, you don't go all in. You know, you don't stop putting electrical units in your floors or your walls. No. But what you do is you start testing these desks and you see if they work. And then maybe the next project, you put a few less electrical outlets. This is not one or the other. It's a both, and it's a transition. It's a transformation.
That's correct. So here you see also we're playing around a little bit on the metaverse side of it. We're playing, with augmented reality. How do we leverage, layer our data analytics on top of build space? So we have our Oculuses over here. We're probably going to get some of the newer versions. You see some of the sensors, and that's important for us because it's not necessarily, again, a lot of innovation labs and a lot of companies, what they leverage their innovation lab to test the product, test 10 different sensors and understand which sensor they're going to use in their environment. We don't do that. We do that for us as a proof of concept or something that we know we're going to be committing to, that we do in the field, that we take a building. We have a couple of buildings that we use as our kitchen sink for technology, and we actually test those in live environments. What you're seeing here is when we tested when we are putting these sensors in, we want people to understand what's going in, how it's going to look. And you would be surprised that this board has served us very well, because when I say dome camera, they all don't know which dome camera I'm talking. So am I talking about the bigger dome camera? But that's going to be too big in an elevator. So let's use this one inside of the elevator. Actually, you know what? This one looks much nicer, but the field of view is not that great. This is a dual lens camera. This is what we use for counting cameras. This is every one of our, you know, we don't use Hikvision, but this is an example of you know, that's why it's not. It's
well,
not
and then let's add another topic on top of that. There is an awful lot of conversation going on with privacy and with you know, making sure your cameras are secure. Does this give you a little bit more opportunity hands-on that if you wanted to work with an organization to go supply chain down to the chip level, you, now that you've got these cameras in your lab, does that make it a little bit easier?
It does. It also helps us when we bring in a customer in and we sort of like let them understand the layout and how we install things. Because in a lot of these cases, these cameras are connected to the internet. But in our scenario, our camera system, our CCTV system, is autonomous disconnected. It's connected internally, but does not talk to the outside. Now you can say, it may have something built into it that I can communicate to the outside world too. So we can test those things.
So you can do your own testing.
That's correct. So this is a setup of the this is a setup of our of a conference room. We always have problems with our construction and development, where they're saying how much equipment do you need, how big of the credenza do you need. So the little rack that you see beside the TV is the credenza, the size that we need to house all of our equipment. You can see here the TV could be hung in multiple ways, the video conferencing system that will be underneath it. This would be a microphone that we would have to hang from the ceiling. So they need to understand that there will be something hanging out from the ceiling. And then we have samples of speakers along the space over here to show them the different types of speakers that we can have either in the lobby
vendors give you this technology, or you're not buying this, right?
Nothing over here has been bought. Everything has been, you know, maybe we spend a little bit on labor for them to come and install it for us. But at the end of the day, most of it is has been given to us by our vendors, so we can actually help also in the process, because sometimes their life is not that easy to deal with our construction, our development team, just because of the things that they have to go through.
If I'm a tenant or a prospective tenant and I see the effort that you're going through, this tells me that you're doing a significant amount of due diligence on the place I'm going to call home for my business.
Yeah,
they got to be impressed with that.
And we're hoping that at some point customers, because we can't decide what you're doing inside of your actual space, but if we talk about air quality, we talk about our data analytics, we talk about our wellness and our health, then maybe this is something that you say, hey, you know what? I want to do something like this in my space too. How do I do it? And then we can benefit from that too.
Unbelievable. Good stuff.
To close up my end, I wanted to show you something that we decided that we thought that was very important. One of the big, from COVID, we learned that the parking revenue is a huge component that customers lost, that building owners lost. And not all buildings have a parking revenue mechanism built into it, especially the older buildings. So how do you bypass the cost? You know, those are hundreds of thousands of dollars to implement them in the industry. The office sector is not doing that great right now. How do you bypass a scenario like this? How do you implement something, a solution that could help you maybe track occupancy, track the cost that you should be able to collect? Who are your repeating people that are coming into your space, into your parking area? So what we did is we purchased a camera that you can see over here that has license plate reading technology. So, and the camera is fairly cheap. You know, we're looking at a $1,300, $1,400 camera with the licensing inside versus the hundreds of thousands afterwards. But if I can track in and out, which I will show you in a second, in and out, and I know, and I have your license plate, so I know if you're a repeater or not, I know how, based on the rates, I can understand also when and how much I should be billing you, or how much I should be collecting or receiving from my parking revenue revenue operator if I have one. I can integrate it into my visitor management. You can actually select over the menus in our application that a visitor is coming in. Apart from giving them an access card to come in, I'm giving them a parking spot, and it's already transferred and paid by somebody else. I can integrate it with the gate up and down. I can do a lot of things with it, and all by just implementing a basic CCTV camera that has the functionality. So I have three license plates over here that we printed out, right? And this is how we test it here. So I'm a car, right? And I'm driving through, and as you can see, you rent me as an in, and I'm allowed to come in this building, right?
Wow, that was fast. I mean, easy, seamless. That's pretty crazy.
On the other hand, somebody that doesn't have a pass to be in my space, right?
Yep.
And again, it reads different license plates, it reads different solutions. So we believe that for buildings that we don't have revenue control, buildings that we don't have revenue control in the parking areas, or locations where we want to maybe track what we're actually getting versus what was actually happening in the space itself.
So let me ask you a question. This technology has been around the Middle East and Asia for 15 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why has it taken so long to get to the US?
I think it's the tie, it's also the maturity of the organizations and understanding where technology from the operation side of it fits inside of the actual business. So, you know, for if you had operations deal with this by themselves, maybe they won't, because all they know is a parking operator. They also know parking systems. They know building systems in parking. They don't dwell into the technology and what is available and what is not out and what is in there. You would then have your technology team that works together horizontally integrated into the company to be able to then say, hey, by the way, there are options that I can actually do that I can maybe help you in this process. And they have to be open enough to say, yes, please show me, I want to learn.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been following this specific technology for a really long time. We see it on some freeways or we see it in some airports. Mm-hmm. But to me, I mean, the management of parking spots with good technology like you just showed us it seems so common sense. I mean, this.
Yeah, so in RealCom, when we get to RealCom in June, we'll be able to show you a full working system.
Well, you're going to bring this whole lab to RealCom, right? In IBCon?
Well, you should have a pavilion where some of our other peers everyone can contribute a project or two that they're coming in. And well, we already have
that in the showcase. We kind of do that in the showcases. So we're getting, yeah. I mean, there is so much coming at us this year, as you know, that, between AI and all these new technologies, not new, but low voltage and immersive spaces. I mean, things are really starting to light up. So I understand you have one other surprise for us. What's up with that?
So one of the projects, two projects came out of here, low voltage in some of our smaller spaces, as well as our command center. And, you know, originally Aaron will tell you all about it, but Aaron is now waiting for us live out of our command center in one of our properties, and he will run you through what we're doing there.
Another mobile warrior getting ready to take a risk, take us around the room. I'm telling you guys, I just so appreciate not your effort, but your willingness to take risks. That is the key to all of this. You got to be willing to fail. So Aaron, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for the tour, Alon. It was awesome. It looks great. So I am coming to you guys live from CARS Command Center. It's the first of its kind. And it's about 5 miles away from where Alon just was. And this is a repurposed space that we've turned into really a hub or control or command center for CCTV activity and cyber activity and a couple of different things. But just some background, what I think is really cool about how this project came to life, and because we're talking about the lab, is to think about really how was it incubated and how did we get buy-in from our partners at CAR. And it all goes back to having that physical lab space. 18 months ago, we had a demo of a command center in our lab at 1615 L Street at the time. And we were able to bring our business partners down from property management, asset management, leasing, and allowed them to experience the technology. This wasn't a project where we made a mock-up or we did a design document or a printout. They actually got to see what it looked like. And because we were able to bring people through, get them excited about it, actually interact with the concept, we were able to get buy-in to move the project out into the field and really get some traction in the, you know, in its live use case. And that's how this command center that is now used, it's used by our team internally, and it's also used by our external security management group that comes in here and monitors not only this building, but our entire portfolio. So from this location in DC, they have eyes on Boston, Massachusetts. They got eyes in Austin, Texas. They got eyes in Virginia and Maryland. And then, of course, the DC buildings. But this concept is really just a use case and a really a proof of the model of why it is important to have that physical lab. To bring our business really out of just these digital concepts, digital models, and into physically interacting with this technology.
Well, and again, when you experience it firsthand physically, you learn things at an exponential rate, correct? I mean, using your hands and trying things, the maker mentality, if you will. I mean, you learn faster, don't you?
Exactly. And the amount of feedback we're able to get to improve these concepts is so much faster because there's, you know, face-to-face interaction over the technology. And also the training, which we've seen and probably many of our other peers have seen, when you roll out a technology, there's training issues, maybe things get lost in translation between IT speak and business speak. But the fact that we had this lab gave us this space and platform to really get intimate with it and have that easy conversation to train our business users that really are going to be the product champions in the field.
Well, and then when you see all those screens on the wall and you see all those video feeds, and then all of a sudden you say, wow, wouldn't this be cool if I could do this on an iPad as well, right? On my security guards as they're walking around. So you see, there's nothing like seeing things at scale, you know, next to each other to accelerate the learning process.
Exactly. And this particular implementation is an example of really how to get the most out of your resources. This location and building, just think about it. We already have high availability data, power. We're able to bring in our existing PoE lighting system. We had furniture, and this was really unused, unutilized space that is adjacent, sort of an annex to our property management office that now brings, you know, serious value to especially a portfolio operator in DC, you know, considering the current political climates and just the exposure that our customers are requiring and our investors are requiring to protect our assets.
Yeah. Unbelievable, Jeb. Well, let's bring Ilan back and finish this conversation. Guys, first of all, A+. I mean, again, your capacity to lean in, take risks. Now, Ilan, you really don't have that large of an IT team. How did you pull all this off with your very efficient team?
So one thing is my team is great. That's one thing. So and the emphasis here is to bring the subject matter expert, learn how to think outside of the box. So we deal with our day-to-day, but we also allocate time so we can do this, right? So, and I think that everyone in my team, being a subject matter expert in their field, can bring that to the table. And that's part of our requirements. I mean, I have to deliver a certain innovation to my superiors on a yearly basis. They ask, you know, what are we going to do this year in innovative? And then I ask my team, what are you bringing to the table? And how many projects are you going to bring in? And sometimes it's, you got to bring in at least 10 projects, but one has to be accepted. A minimum of one has to be accepted. So they keep on going and going and going. And that's the purpose.
So do you see the day when the supply side, the vendor solution providers start saying, hey, Ilan, can I put my robot in your lab? Can I bring my drone and let you play with my drone? I mean, are they starting to lean into you as much as you lean into them?
We already are seeing that. We're seeing that because of our richness in data and analytics and understanding our data. We understand that because of our open-mindedness, our vendors are understanding that our operating team, our engineering team, and our executives are open for that too. So we are already getting calls saying, can we test you there? We've got a couple of groups coming out of other countries that want to get grants, and they want to use us as their stepping stone first implementation in the United States as a so they could be as a showroom for other customers. So yes, we're seeing that starting to happen.
I think you're going to need more space.
Yes,
so Aaron, out of those 10 projects, what do you got in store next, 2024 and beyond?
Well, we have some exciting developments around data analytics and AI, and we are taking the right and pragmatic approach to delivering AI solutions, where we're focusing on the core and quality of our data, and not just jumping into the hype of AI. And this June, we're going to have a lot of interesting talking points on how we're using AI to get the most out of
it. Well, you know the momentum that our AI journey is taking with, you know, Buildings AI last year in Palo Alto, and then our AI advisory group. We've now just announced 2 days ago the Buildings AI Symposium, a new pre-con event. Microsoft's getting involved. You guys are getting, I mean, we've got case studies really starting to come up. So I just, it's such a pleasure to see, you know, leaders like you digging in and leaning in and doing a great job. Guys,
well, I'll tell you two things, Jim. From the buildings and perspective itself, you know, we're looking at reactive, proactive, and predictive. And we're also looking at smart, intelligent, and wise. And you understand how the building blocks happen, but we are hoping that comes June, we'll be able to show you predictive and we'll show you wise.
Well, and I was going to say the most important word that you said to that in my ears was wise, because you can knee-jerk technology. You cannot think it all the way through. You don't understand unintended consequences. And it sounds like you guys are absolutely on the right path.
Thank
you. Yeah. Guys, again, thank you. Thank you. So exciting. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right. Be well.
Thank you.
All right. There it is. One of the most innovative teams in our industry, digging in, creating a lab. This reminds me of the old maker mentality. I remember my dad, now all the dads in the neighborhood, including the moms, you know, they tinkered. They tried things. The garages were filled with tool benches and grinders and drill presses. And that's the way, you know, we built this country. And to see this happening in our industry to the level we just saw is really exciting. Howard, come on in. Let's talk about the news, but I'm sure you got some comments.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great show. Thanks, Jim. Alon, Aaron, I mean, you guys are amazing. Thank you for another great innovation tour.
Well, and it's not just they're doing it, but it's their willingness to share with the community, with our industry. That's the thing nobody really talks about. They could keep this as their secret sauce and not tell anybody. But they say, look, rising tide, you know, rises all boats. And it's like, that's the attitude I think that has made our community so strong, is the people's willingness to share.
I thoroughly agree. We're so blessed to have a community like this.
Amen. So let me get out of your way and do the news, and I'll be back in a few.
Okay, so I'm going to go right into the news, and I'm going to highlight a few stories from our weekly briefing. It goes out every Thursday morning. If you want to get it, just go to our website and click on news. So first story, in a landmark move, the EU set a global precedent with the first regulatory framework for AI. It's focused on mitigating potential risks and societal impacts. So high-risk applications, pivotal and critical infrastructure and medical sectors, they're going to face stringent regulations now to mitigate risks, enhance transparency, and ensure human supervision. So some AI uses, like emotion recognition in schools and work environments, is going to be banned completely. Law enforcement will be able to use biometric identification, but only in high-stakes situations, like tracking down sex offenders or terror threats. So the new regulation introduced mandatory labeling for AI-synthesized media, like images and videos, to ensure that the public will know if, you know, images and media are real or not. It's all set to be binding legally this May, and each EU nation is going to develop its own AI oversight agency. Non-compliance is going to carry a hefty penalty, up to $38 million, or 7% of annual revenues per infraction. This step by the EU really echoes the global call to harness AI's transformative potential in a responsible way, and it's a tough set of inactions. So we'll wait to see what we're going to be doing here in the States. Next, in a nightmarish scenario, a financier in Hong Kong was conned out of $25 million due to a deepfake technology used in a real estate scam. So we're seeing a lot of a whole new era of sophisticated fraud, where scammers are using AI to mimic the audio and visual identity of trusted professionals. And using AI, fraudsters now can virtually eliminate a lot of those previous red flags we've seen in phishing scams, like email misspellings. This means we're going to need constant education and emphasis on verification at every step, especially true in real estate. Better Business Bureau underscored the stealth of these scams. They're getting good. And without the telltale size we typically see in fake listings and personas, it's going to make it even harder. So we may need to go back to face-to-face interactions, secure communication methods, and the basics and rigorous identity checks if we want to stay ahead of these AI-assisted deceptions. Next story. So Washington, D.C., set to unveil the government's first all-electric building, the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center, otherwise known as the RRBITC. Now, a hefty grant propelled this green transition. It financed Johnson Controls' installation of a new heat pump technology, and this electrification leap was part of a $91 million energy contract estimated to cut greenhouse emissions by over 2,000 metric tons and shave 8.7% off the building's annual energy use. And this translates to a hefty $6.2 million in utility savings, in addition to substantial reduction in energy consumption. GSA Administrator Rob Carnahan highlighted its alignment with economic growth, stability, national security, and this project's just a starting point, as GSA is targeting net zero emission for federal buildings by 2045, which is a milestone set in motion by the Inflation Reduction Act. And finally, as more companies shift their services to the cloud, mixing it up with hybrid and multi-cloud setups, they have got to watch out for slip-ups in their configurations and security gaps. These mistakes are like a welcome mat for hackers. Folks over at NSA have caught on to this, and they dropped a top 10 list of tips to help businesses tighten up their cloud security game. So they rolled this out last Thursday, packing in everything from smarter ways to handle who gets access to keeping data under lock and key, and making sure that different parts of the network don't trip over each other. NSA teamed up with CISA for a good chunk of these hot tips. This is important. A great article. You should read it. In fact, I would encourage all of you, not only read the article, put the list on a sticky somewhere for easy reference. So I'm going to wrap it. That's just a few of this week's highlighted articles. I wish you all a great weekend. And back to you, Jim.
All right. So you hit the big ones. So aligning that news brief list with what we're doing for the conference, AI is going to be in every single day of the conference. And we'll be sending out a summary in the next couple of weeks with all the different places we're going to talk about that. Energy, electric buildings, low voltage, another huge topic that we've been talking about for years, but is actually picking up some steam. And of course, cybersecurity with our cybersecurity forum that's coming off the REC meeting we just came from last week in Houston. Cybersecurity is probably going to make the main stage this year just because of its big, big impact on everything we're doing and how much more sophisticated it's getting. And so great job at grabbing those stories that are resonating inside of our industry. And as always, you and your team do a great job.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Yeah, those are the biggies. Those are the big areas. They're going to get a lot of focus, all areas of the conference.
Well, we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right. So with that, before I wrap and talk about next week, let's hear from our final sponsor. And I'll be right back to talk about next week's show. So the topic of in-building wireless, right? I mean, it's obvious to everybody. In the last 20 years, we've become a very mobile society. iPads, phones, tablets, laptops. I mean, we don't want to sit at a desk all day. We want to be able to pick up and go, right? Because our needs have changed. And so getting wireless inside a building, whether it's Wi-Fi, 802.11, 4G, 5G, 6G, 7G, CBRS, private networks, near field communications, things like Bluetooth low energy, and a host of new technologies. We got to keep our eye on what is going to allow the tenant in a building to be mobile. So we're pushing the envelope a little bit. Next week, we're going to go into a conversation about satellites to smartphone connectivity. Okay, there's a project out there called Santana, and we've got a longtime friend, Rich Berliner from Digital Locations, is going to come in and share his knowledge with that and give us an idea of where this technology is and the impact it's going to have to the built environment. So we're excited about hooking up with Rich again and talking about a very forward-thinking topic and how it's going to impact our world. So with that, I say thank you. Hope you have a great day, great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Be well.